I'm speaking on the split between Jew and Gentile in the Bible, how this happened. I'm going to talk about what it was before, what it is, how it happened, and what God has been doing in the last 78 years. It's an exciting thing. Before we examine the split of the Christians from the Jews, even the Messianic Jews, we need to see what it was like before the split. Let's start there, but first let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful time with my friends. God, I pray you help me to speak clearly. Although I'm going to be presenting a lot, I pray that they get the gist of this message. In Yeshua's name, amen. So in Romans 9, Paul expresses his heart towards his people, the Jewish people, and then he gives 9 statements to why they are not like just ordinary, everyday people. Romans 9, verse 4 to 5. They are the people of Israel. They have been adopted as God's children. God's glory belongs to them. So do the covenants. They received the law. They were taught to worship in the temple. They were given the promises. The founders of our nations belong to them. Christ comes from their family line, and God, he is God over all. May he always be praised. Amen. So we look at these 9 things. They're the people of Israel. They're the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They've been adopted as God's children. This means they were chosen by God to be adopted as his people and his treasured possession. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." Another one is God's glory belongs to them. This means they have experienced God's divine presence as seen in the Ark of the Covenant. God gave them the covenants and revealed his laws to them. Another one is God gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. Another one is they were the ones God taught how to worship in the temple. Another one is they were given the promises, even the promises, the promise of the new covenant. So many people think the old covenant was written for the Jews and the new covenant was written for the Gentiles, but that's not true. According to Jeremiah 31:31, both the new covenant and the old covenant were both written for the Jew. They were founders of the nation of Israel. And the last one is the Messiah came from the family line of the founders of Israel. So we look at that. Now I'm going to turn the boat. We're going to be turning the boat quite a bit because I don't want to lose you. So we're going to turn the boat just slightly. Romans 8:28 shows us that God saw Israel's rejection of Yeshua as a temporary state. As a temporary state. Romans 11, verse 28. The people of Israel are treated as God's enemies so that the good news can come to you Gentiles. But they are still the chosen ones, and God loves them because of their famous ancestors. That's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, etc., Joseph. God doesn't take back the gifts he has given or forget about the people he has chosen. Now, Paul also believed there will be a time when all Israel will be saved. Does that mean every single Jew will get saved? No, it means the mass will get saved. Romans 11, verse 25. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part, until the full number of Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And this is why Paul warned Gentile believers really not to be arrogant against the Jews. And they were to remember that before their salvation, they were separated from the Jewish Messiah and alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You understand what a commonwealth is? Commonwealth of, those are other nations that are connected to, but they're not the same as. That's not a very good definition, but you understand what, that's good as I can give right now. So let's look at, turn the boat again just a little bit to Ephesians 2. Now, in Ephesians 2, we learn Paul's view concerning the body of Messiah. We see Paul's objective for writing the believing Gentiles of Ephesus. It was to reassure them that they were fully God's people because of their faith in Messiah and his work. And there is no longer a barrier between them and Messianic Jews. Paul assures them that born-again Gentiles are no second-class citizens within the kingdom of God. And that Paul's purpose was not to downplay Jewish distinctivenesses, but to upplay what God has now done for the believing Gentiles. So this is lengthy reading, but this is important that we go over this. In Ephesians 2, verse 11, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, he's our shalom, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So, we see this holy temple consisting of believing Jews and believing Gentiles. You see that? Yes. This is what God purposed. So now, okay, this is important you get that point. So now, let's sharply turn the boat and look at the split between Jews and Gentiles. Now, mind you, their purpose that there be no division, that Messianic Jews and born-again Gentiles, they worship together. They worship together. They ate together. They were actually marrying. They were doing everything together, much like we are here today. Now, as a result of the first recorded body of Messiah council, that's the Council of Jerusalem, things began to slowly change. Now, at this council, they had to make a decision whether Gentiles had to become Jewish to be saved or they stayed Gentile, okay? Because there was a big controversy. They were saying to guys, listen, if you guys want to have salvation in Messiah Yeshua, you guys got to take on circumcision. You got to be Jewish. And there was a controversy, big controversy. The conclusion of their council is found in Acts 15, verses 12 to 21. And James here is speaking in Acts 15, 19. It is my judgment, he says, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. That's it. That's it. So from this judgment, we find Jews and Gentiles worshiping Yeshua together, but the makeup of the body of Messiah steadily began to change from the very beginning. You see, in the beginning, it was 100% Jewish. And after Acts 15, the non-Jews would start coming in to the group. And then what happened, something weird happened. Persecution started to rev up. Well, Frank, did the Messianic Jews continue to identify as Jews? Yes. There are still Jews, even though they believed in Yeshua. So in the congregation, you had Jews that believed in Yeshua, and you had non-Jews, Gentiles, that believed in Yeshua. And they walked together, they talked together, they ate together. Now, I wish it wasn't so, but it was our famous church fathers who fueled the fire of persecution. You study church history, and you study what these men said. It's so cotton-picking shameful. Ignatius of Antioch, I'm not going to give you the dates, but it's actually, he was from 50. It just happened a generation after the establishment of the body of Christ. One generation later, Ignatius of Antioch, he taught that those who partake of the Passover are partakers with those who killed Yeshua. You see, the Gentiles were partaking of Passover with the Jewish brethren. They were partaking together. Justin Martyr, you've heard of him. He claimed God's covenant with Israel was no longer valid and that the Gentiles had replaced the Jews as God's chosen. Now, in 135 AD, a man called Marcus became actually the first non-Jewish bishop of Jerusalem, and gradually the spiritual center moved from Jerusalem to Rome and Constantinople. Now, a fellow by the name of Irenaeus, he declared the Jews were disinherited from the grace of God. Tertullian, he blamed the Jews for the death of Jesus and argued that Jews had been rejected by God. Origen, he proclaimed it was the Jews who were responsible for killing Jesus, which brings us to the Roman Emperor Constantine and the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Now, in one sense, the council was good. Another sense, the council was bad. The good part was they firmed up the divinity of Yeshua as God and man. The bad part, it was anti-Semitic. Now, listen to this. Some of the conclusions of this council: Christians were prohibited from sharing a meal with a Jew. You see, they were eating together. So they said, now you got to stop this. Christians were prohibited from marrying a Jew. They were marrying because they were both believers. That was forbidden. Christians were prohibited from observing the Jewish Sabbath because they were observing the Sabbath. The Gentile believers were observing the Sabbath. The council changed the celebration of the resurrection from the Jewish Feast of First Fruits to Easter in an attempt to dissociate it from Jewish holidays. As a side note, Jewish converts were required to give up their Jewish names and take on Christian names. And that's when Miriam, mother of Jesus, became Mary. In 1543, now I'm skipping a lot of these fellows. I'm going fast here. Martin Luther wrote a pamphlet entitled On the Jews and Their Lies. And Hitler referred to Luther's writings when he proclaimed this, quote, "I believe that today I'm acting in accordance with the will of Almighty God as I pronounce the most important work that Christians could undertake, and that is to be against the Jews and get rid of them once and for all." And he spoke this in 1924 to over 1,000 pastors that gave him a standing ovation. Let's turn the boat now to some good news. I had enough bad news. In the past, some Christian movements have challenged anti-Semitism within the body of Messiah, such as the Waldenese revivalists in France and Italy, and the Puritans in England. Now, since the rebirth of Israel in 1948, much has changed within the body of Messiah. I mean, much has changed. Today, it's primarily the evangelical Christian who is pro-Israel. In fact, the recent Prime Minister of Israel referred to evangelical Christians as Israel's best friends. Frank, what caused the evangelical Christians to become so pro-Israel all of a sudden? Well, it was understanding the covenants of God, the four major covenants of God. You have the covenant of the seed in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, the covenant concerning the land, Genesis 13, 13 to 17, the covenant concerning the throne of David at 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 16, and Isaiah 9, 6 to 7, and the covenant concerning the discipline of Israel. In Romans 11, verse 1, I asked then, did God reject his people? By no means. I'm an Israelite, the Apostle Paul is saying. I'm an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people who he foreknew. And then it talks about that also in Jeremiah 31 and Jeremiah 33. I'm seeing the picture. Now today, this is my favorite part. Today we have the Messianic Jewish congregation. And there's a lot of them, not in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, we just have two. We have the, which consists of believing Jews and believing Gentiles worshiping together, in like in the beginning, which is a fulfillment of Ephesians 2, verses 14 to 16. Let's look at there again. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier and dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with his commandments and regulations. Now listen to this. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. One new man out of Jew and Gentile, both saved, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. So this is what we have. Just in the past 78 years or so, okay, the birth of the Messianic Jewish congregation came to be. It's like a resurrection of the past, of the first church, where you have Jewish people and Gentile people who are born again, who share the Messiah, Yeshua. They were worshiping together, we're eating together, we're fellowshipping together. We're one people. We're one people. We're the people that God is making the holy temple out of. Jew and Gentile together. And that's what Beth Messiah really is all about. You say, do we have a biblical basis for what we do? Absolutely. Absolutely. 100% biblical. This is a move of God. Let me tell you something. When I first got into Messianic Judaism, I didn't know much about it, but I did some research. I went different places, and I looked at some of the Messianic rabbis, and I thought to myself, these are weak guys. They probably wouldn't make an elder in my congregation. But yet they had congregations, and I saw how God was using people who I didn't think at all we're all that smart. He was building congregations. It's a move of God. Yeah. Definitely a move of God. You know, I've experienced this move of God myself. When God put it on my heart to start Beth Messiah, I know nothing about Messianic Judaism. Very little about Messianic Judaism. And a few guys from Chicago who knew a lot about it and had good congregations, they came to Milwaukee. There was maybe three of them, three fellows that tried to start a congregation. They all failed. So God really called me to start, actually it was me and Jim, to start Beth Messiah. We didn't even know what we were doing. But we're trusting in God and the fact that he called us to do this. And it happened. Of the three guys and me, I was the least you'd think would be able to get it off the ground. But we're all prepared for our second generation with Jim taking over. It's a wonderful thing God has done. Which brings me to a song. And this is really one of the songs of my heart. I'm happy to be in a body such as this. It's a wonderful thing God has done. He brought us together, meeting one another. We're many members, yet we're one. We're one by the blood we share, and we're one by the burden we bear. Yes, we're one because we care for the body. This is a biblical institution. I want you to see that. It's your testimony of born-again Jews, born-again Gentiles. You can't tell who's who. You really can't tell. We have some Jews of this congregation. They don't wear a tallit. They don't wear a yarmulke. I wish they did, but they don't choose not to. So they choose not to. We in the women of our congregation who are Jewish, you don't know who's Jewish, who's not. You know, in the Messiah, brothers and sisters, and that's just it. I want you to appreciate what God is doing in our generation, and he's using us. And I'll tell you, there's going to be more congregations coming up in the area. I just know it. I just know it. And the trouble is, in some congregations, they try to turn Gentiles into Jews. No, you don't do that. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, nevertheless, each one should remain the place in that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I laid down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. In other words, if you're a Jew, you stay a Jew. He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. So if you're a Gentile, you stay a Gentile. But you're a born-again Gentile. Amen. Part of the Commonwealth of Israel. Amen. If you're a Jew, you stay a Jew. Worshiping together. And that's what Beth Messiah is all about. It's important that you're here. People come in that don't have no understanding of what we're about. And they see this. My mom and dad, who are now with the Lord, I tried to explain what a Messianic Jewish congregation was like. I had to schlep them from Milwaukee to Chicago. We went to this Messianic Jewish congregation. And it's much like ours. And they're looking around, and they didn't say too much. On the way home, my mother says, there were Jews there. I said, yeah, there were. How do you know? I can tell. They start asking me questions, And it's just the viewing of Jews and Gentiles together really helped to form something in the heart of my parents, where they did become born again before they passed on. This is why it's important you're here. You're important. We have visitors that come that they see Jew and Gentile together. It's part of the Great Commission. Amen. So appreciate what God has done here. Amen. 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 God bless you. I love you a lot. Let's all stand together, okay? For the Aaronic blessing. Yavarechecha Adonai vayishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha vichunecha. Yaseh Adonai panav alecha v'yaseim lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace in your heart, knowing what this congregation is all about. It was God's idea. And so we thank him. In Yeshua's precious name, we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the fellowship.